Well, the hearing today at 10 a.m. is on discretionary spending, both security and non-security. They're going to hear for a second time from Doug Elmendorf, the director of the Congressional Budget Office. So people, both reporters and others who are going to be at this hearing, are going to be listening closely to, more so to the statements from the members of the committee itself, to see what tea leaves they could be reading. What are they considering? What seems to be on the table? This committee has just about a little bit more, about 4 weeks left before it must report its recommendations to the full Congress. November 23rd is that deadline.
So it sounds like what you're saying is that there's a lot of ideas that have been floated maybe and even scored by CBO, and now they're going to go through the motions of asking in public what would happen, what the scoring is for the different ideas coming from both sides?
Right. The ideas are not new, but the package that they come up with will have to be scored itself independently by CBO in terms of, you know, which they're picking off a menu of ideas. The specific selections all put together will have to be scored. And Elmendorf, in his first appearance before the committee, sort of warned them that they would have to get some specifics to the CBO by early November if they wanted the package scored by their deadline before they themselves had to vote on it. So we have gotten no indication that they're particularly close to being able to deliver something to the CBO, but maybe we'll get more of a hint today.
We are talking with Russell Berman with the Hill newspaper. We're learning a little bit more about the super committee. We were talking earlier, Tom and I were off the air, about how tight-lipped this has been, how if they can agree on nothing else, at least they're agreeing not to spill the beans on anything. Are you able to get your super sleuths in there and find out exactly what it is they're talking about, or maybe even be able to take the temperature of how things are going with this committee? Can they make this deadline or at least come to agreement?
Well, yeah, it's been difficult because they have been pretty successful at being secretive, and it's been frustrating the lawmakers as much as it's been frustrating the reporters in some cases, because they haven't been giving a lot of information to their colleagues. It seems, we've heard various reports. We heard a report yesterday that they were discussing corporate tax reform in the committee. The Speaker, John Boehner, has suggested that the committee come up with a blueprint or a framework for comprehensive tax reform that would be put in place by the relevant committees next year. There's just not enough time to do it all in the next few weeks. So that's a little bit of what we've heard. They might be talking in some detail about taxes. We've also heard that they may try to put a down payment on some of these issues if they can't get the so-called grand bargain that we've heard talked about a lot, where the Democrats on the committee are insisting that any agreement have some sort of revenue component, because in previous agreements, obviously, the Democrats have been stymied in their attempt to get added revenue. So that's also something to watch.
Now, early on in this whole process, Nancy Pelosi, the House Minority Leader, said that she hoped the committee would be transparent. She said it should be the most transparent process in history. Clearly, they didn't listen to her. So could that be taken, possibly, as a clue that they might really come up with something outstanding or radical or unexpected or strangely bipartisan?
Well, that's sort of the wishful thinking in Washington, is that, well, they have been successful in that, and maybe that's an indication that they are actually succeeding. But, you know, they also haven't been very haven't sounded very optimistic. They've been, as we've seen reports, that the committee is not making much progress. And, for example, that they haven't agreed on even the measuring sticks on the budget baseline that they're going to work off of, which is a very key decision to make. They haven't done much to tamp down that pessimism, and part of that might be to keep expectations low. It seems that they are working more and more, based on what we've heard, in the framework of what the law actually requires in terms of $1.2 to $1.5 trillion in deficit reduction, and not as much in the kind of big deal or grand bargain that that others have pushed for. We haven't got much sense that they're still trying to go very far above the $1.5 trillion number. But again, because we've had so little information, it creates the opportunity for a big surprise.
I got to ask, as our federal audience is listening to this, they're going to want to know what to be watching for during these hearings. You had said that the press is going to be in there watching for every eyebrow twitch and body language and any slip of the tongue. What should we be watching for, really, when it comes to the future of anything from federal hiring freezes to pay and benefits to anything else that might impact the feds regarding what the super committee decides?
Right, and it's not, it might come up today, it might come up in a hearing that they're going to do next week on, they're going to listen to summaries of previous deficit reduction plans like the Bull-Simpson, and so there have been issues related to federal workers like the TRICARE health benefits, like, as you mentioned, a hiring freeze or sort of across-the-board cuts in that respect, that have been discussed by previous iterations of deficit panels and that are certainly seen to be on the table here. So, we'll be watching for those issues as well.